Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to another Mother and Daughter Bonding Roundtable. Today we have an exciting show. I'm especially proud. The speaker today is a young lady that I know very well. And this is a mother and daughter bonding roundtable, and the topics are about mothers and their daughters. So today, it's an interesting twist, and I like the way that we're merging in the mother and daughter concept. So I'll tell you a little bit about that as we go on. First of all, let's say, I want to say thank you to God. It's just a wonderful opportunity to be able to speak to you this morning, and I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to what we have to say and what mothers and daughters are sharing with each other to add a healing process to their relationship and to the family. So I thank God for that opportunity, and I always, thank God for the opportunity into mothers and daughters that are around the world. Mothers and daughters, when you're talking about the internet, you have mothers and daughters that on the internet and could be stationed anywhere. So what a wonderful opportunity. And as I go back and I look and read the emails, I see that we have mothers and daughters that are just tuning in and are sending very good comments, and they're getting to know the people that come on. So that's very, very exciting to me. Welcome, all the mothers and daughters, to Blog Talk Radio this morning. Thank you so very, very much for tuning in. Remember, it's a place where mothers and daughters come, have an honest conversation about their mother and daughter relationship and share their stories. This week our topic is on the high call of a mother, the high call of a mother. Of course, I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and I am your host for today, and I'm going to co-host today, of course. And if you're listening to us by phone, you can also listen to us on Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio, and you can go to On Air and click on the Mother and Daughter Bonding Network, and of course, you can listen as you move around. And if you're on the internet, if you know someone, you want to call them and tell them, get on the phone. Listen, the number is 347-539-5078. That will give you an opportunity to listen to the program. And if you decide you want to become a part of the conversation, then you just simply click one on your phone, and that will give me a signal, and I'll get to you as soon as I possibly can. So I invite you to sit back, relax, and call your mothers and daughter friends, your sister, grandmother, stepmother, stepdaughter, especially your mother-in-law and daughter-in-laws, and say, come on, let's join this program. Let's listen to what is going on the Mother and Daughter Blog Talk Radio, because I guarantee if you listen, you will get something that will enhance your relationship and help you move to another level. So you don't want to miss this show. It's a stimulating topic, the high call of a mother. I'm excited about it myself. Of course, I don't know a lot what's going to be said about it, so I'm like you. I'm going to be a listener in many aspects of the word. Of course, again, for the new callers that are on and the people that are listening, we're at 347-539-5078. That's 347-539-5078. Click 1 to join the conversation. Again, I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and I'm your host. The co-host today is going to be Angela Huntley. Angela Huntley is my daughter, and it's truly a mother and daughter bonding radio program today, from the essence of the word. So thank you, and I'm excited to hear what she has to say. She is a daughter that's attached to the mother, which is me, which makes up the Mother and Daughter Bonding Network, which includes you and your daughter. If you wish to contact me, you can contact me at drbessie@mdbn.org. That's drbessie, D-R, DESSIE at mdbn.org, or you may call me at 786-462-6470. That's 786-462-6470. So before we get started today, I just want to say a couple things, and then we're going to move on into the topic. Of course, you know, November the 12th through the 15th, 2010, we're having our mother and daughter bonding cruise. It's going to be an exciting time. People are signing up and excited about going. I keep hearing, I can't wait. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Well, I'm excited, and I'm ready to go, too, as well. So it's going to be an exciting thing. We are going to have some fun, and then we are going to really get into the adults. This is 18 and older mother and daughter teens. You know, we're going to have a cruise for a week, the last week in June, that will include all ages of mothers and daughters. But the one in November is just for adults, 18 and older. The daughters must be 18 or older in order to attend. Because then we're going to really talk about some serious conversations that is going to be very well needed at this point in time. Even if the daughter's 18, there's things that she needs to know to help build her relationship with her mother, but also when she looks forward to having her own family. So the deposit is still $50 to the end of the month. You can call Roberta at 305-628-1420. That's 305-628-1420. All right, don't procrastinate. That's a show we had not too long ago. The other bit of information that I'd like to share with you, we are building a network of mothers and daughters. And I want you to think about this and write down or gather all of your women friends, because keep in mind, every woman is a daughter. Because I have some women come to me and say, you know, well, Dr. Fletcher, I'd like to be a part, but I don't have a daughter, so I can't participate. And I look at them and I said, but you are a daughter. And somehow or another, that information sort of staggers their mind. They look at me, oh, yeah, you're right. Because every woman is a daughter, and she has her own mother and daughter story. So that puts you right in the center of the mother and daughter bonding network, the mother and daughter bonding activities and programs, because you can share your mother and daughter relationship with other mothers and daughters, even if you don't have a daughter. And of course, we're not anti-men, so, you know, we talk about our sons as well, because our sons have to grow up and be the fathers and the husbands to our daughters. So it's a combination of healing the entire family. Our goal is to put together 10 million mothers and daughters. That's the campaign. We want to do this by the end of December the 31st. That's our goal. We can do it with all the social networks. We're not asking for anyone to pay any money. You don't have to. Do nothing but sign up, and we're going to send out information, activities, and things that we're doing. Just keep you informed, little educational piece, how to improve your mother and daughter relationship, and have you talk with us. And if you need help, someone will reach out to help you with the situation that you're having with your daughter at that time. Of course, I am a Christian clinical psychologist, and I do one-on-one. So the number that I gave you earlier, you can call me at that number if you want to talk to me one-on-one and you want to discuss an issue. We can do that, and you don't have to do it in a group setting. The number is 786-462-6470. All right? Right. I think that's everything that we need to talk about. We have some exciting things happening here at the Mother and Daughter Bonding Center that I will share with you later. It's an exciting day. We are broadcasting from the center. It is absolutely wonderful. We have mothers and daughters here that's moving around and getting ready for programming today. I'm excited. I'm excited. And I'll share that with you at a different point in time. So for all of you that's just joining us, I'm Dr. Betsy Fletcher, your host for the Mother and Daughter Bonding Roundtable. And, of course, our topic today, the high call of a mother. So I would like for you to sit back, relax, and our guest today is my daughter. Her name is Angela Huntley, and she's going to speak to you about the high call of a mother. Okay, let's see here, and we go 336, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing great. How about you?
I'm doing great. This is Angela Huntley. Angela, you, I call you Angie, so if it's okay, I'll continue to do that because I'm comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm excited that you're taking on the role today to talk about the high call of a mother. So you want to tell us a little bit about that and then go into what you want to share about it?
Yeah, I can actually jump right on in. I want to say that, first of all, I just thank God for giving me ability this morning, and I pray that it will be enlightening to all the listeners, and I just want to thank you for the opportunity to be here today.
I thank you. I'm honored that you are doing this. This is the daughter. This is what I think the Lord has placed on my heart. That is the way that we are supposed to go. So I'm excited.
Yeah, Dr. Bessie, there's some background noise.
Okay.
I'm ready to get started. And first of all, the topic, a high call of a mother. Basically, the first thing we want to establish before we get into the study today is that being a mother is operating in a ministry. And, you know, a lot of times people don't look at it that way, but that's exactly what it is. It is a ministry. It's a high call by God for you to be in service for a child, in the life of a child. And the reason why I say a life of a child is because it's not just your child. Because everybody who listens knows that here at the Mother and Daughter Bonding Network, we believe that all women, whether you have a daughter or not, have a responsibility to be a mother to a daughter. So you may not have your own daughter, but you have the responsibility to a daughter. And we talked about that on a previous show in Titus 2. So those of you listening and, you know, you want to learn a little bit more about that, you want to see where we got that from, it's not just mother and daughter opinion. It is actually in the Word, Titus 2, where we have responsibility to other daughters. So, but today, the Lord has given me a passage of Scripture that about a particular mother. This mother is a mother of a son. However, I'm going to show you, if you hang in there with me for a moment, I'm going to show you how it relates to mothers and daughters. And I believe that just like I learned something, the Lord has something for everyone else too. So we're going to go into, if you have your Bibles and you can turn, that would be great. If not, you can just listen because I'm going to read it. But it's 2 Kings chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 26 through 29. Again, it's 2 Kings, chapter 6, verses 26 through 29. And I'm going to read it. King James Version reads like this. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the winepress?" And then the king said unto her, "What aideth thee?" And she answered, "This woman said unto me, Give thy son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow." So we boiled my son, and we did eat him. And I said unto her the next day, "Give thy son, so that we may eat him." And she hath hid him. Now, first thing we need to know, that there was a famine in Samaria, and that the famine was so severe that even a donkey's head was too unaffordable for someone to purchase of this woman's stature. So there was nothing for her to eat. A donkey's head is the most undesirable part to eat. It has no meat. So it's the most undesirable part, and the Bible says that even that was expensive. So these two women got together. And you got to understand, this particular woman was in so much distress. She's in so much distress because she had been tricked to boil and eat her son. The deal was the next day they were going to boil and eat the next woman's son. But that woman reneged. She didn't present her son. Yet they had already eaten the this woman's son. So she was in distress. She killed her son. She'd been tricked. And now she still was hungry. So she was asking for help. And the king turns to her and he looks at her and he says, if the Lord doesn't help you, then what can I do for you? So there's a lesson here for us. And I want us to first look at the first thing that the Lord brought to me in this lesson. And number one is that this woman allowed the influences of the world to influence her decisions as a mother. And as mothers of daughters, and mothering daughters who may not be our daughters of birth, there are decisions we're going to have to make. And we cannot allow ourselves to be tricked or influenced by the world, as this woman did. The influences of the world is basically a tool by the adversary that he uses on every single believer to get you to satisfy your fleshly desires. This woman was hungry. All she knew is that she was hungry. It was a time of famine. There was nothing to eat. So to satisfy her fleshly desires, she allowed herself to be tricked by the woman that came to her with the idea. She didn't come up with this on her own. This idea was presented to her by another woman, and she fell for it. And oftentimes, we don't realize that we are being tricked, that we're falling for, or we're allowing the influences of the world to influence our decisions. Excuse me. A lot of times when it comes to mothers and daughters, one of the things that the enemy uses is the influences of the world of how other girls are being raised. I look at girls all the time, and one of the things that we tell them is that they're princesses. You know, it's all about them. They could do and be whatever they want to be in life. And that's just not true. It's simply just not true. And that's satisfying our flesh instead of the spirit. Because the truth is, it's not all about them. And when they get into the world, they'll find out it's not about them, but it's all about the Lord Jesus. And they'll find out that they can't do and be whatever they want to be, but they need to find out that God has a plan for their lives and that they are to operate within that plan in order to glorify Him. And I think that we set our daughters up for failure when we let them think it's all about them. There's little girls that are going to get their manicures and pedicures at 3, 4 years old. They're getting their hair done. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But we need to put it in the proper context. We need to let them know that that's not all that is important. We need to let them know that, you know, it's important that they follow the plan which God has laid out for their lives. And that way, they'll be glorifying Him, and they will be prosperous. See, it's a trick of the enemy for us to get the girls off track, making them think they can be and do just whatever they decide they want to be and do. And so when they grow up and they decide they want to dance on the strip pole, you know, we got to remember, you taught them growing up that they can be and do whatever they chose that they want to be and do. And that when they grow up and they can't survive in relationships, be it with men or women, you got to remember, you know, we brought them up to think that it's all about them. So there's some selfishness deep down inside. So we got to know that we got to be careful and not let the influences of the world, you know, you see these little girls on TV getting all made up and, you know, really taking the attitude that it's all about me. And we can't allow that with our daughters because we're doing them a great disservice. And that's what the world has taught us, not the Spirit of the Lord. The second thing we can learn from this cannibal woman from Samaria, that when she decided that she would make this deal with this woman, that she would go ahead and boil her son and The other woman was supposed to boil her son, and they were going to eat that, eat the children, excuse me. They didn't realize what they were doing. They didn't realize that their children were gifts from God. So that's my second point. We have to realize that our daughters, which are our seed, that our seed is a gift from God. And there's special plans that God has for those daughters. And we have to keep that in mind at all times. If only this particular woman of Samaria had her spiritual ears and eyes open, that she would be able to see that child as the gift that he was and understand that God did have a plan for him. And I'm sure her decision would have been different. So it's important that we keep that in mind. Now, we today, you know, we're not out here boiling and eating our children, our daughters, you know. But in many ways, sometimes we fail to see that they really are gifts from God. And we sacrifice them in other ways, but not understanding our ministry to them. Now, being a mother, as I stated, is the high call. That means it's the highest call on your life over everything that you are to do. That is the highest, because only a woman can be a mother. Only a woman can birth a child. So it is the high, it's a special thing, and it's the highest call that God has given a woman. And we understand our ministries when it comes, when I say we, I'm talking about women, mothers. We understand our ministry when it comes to the church. You know, I'm talking about the physical church. You know, we take that very seriously. And I can explain that best by just giving you real quickly my story. You know, when I was involved in a ministry for 13 years, and I was on the deaconess board, the planning committee, the website ministry, coordinator of youth events. I taught Sunday school. I taught youth council on Wednesday nights. I attended Bible study, women's ministry. And then, of course, you know, I'm not even thinking about this regular Sunday services, and sometimes we had Sunday evening services. So, as you can see, we load our plates down. And one day, I was just getting tired and burnt out. And I've come to realize that, number one, when you're operating in ministry, you should never get burnt out. That's just not improper. Proper call for you to be burnt out. If you're burnt out in your ministry, number one, it's either three things happening. Number one, you're doing it wrong. Number two, you're operating outside of your calling. Or number three, you're just doing too much. So I had to come and realize that I was doing too much. And some of these things that I was doing, I wasn't called to do. And truth be told, I guess I was just doing it wrong. So all of those things was contributing to my just being burnt out. And I had to come to realize, my mom helped me to come to realize, one day she told me, she said, you know what, you are called to be a wife and a mother. And all this other stuff you're doing, you're going to have to let some of that go. Now, we're not saying there's nothing wrong with working in the church. Of course not. But if it's taking you away from your highest call, you need to reevaluate the situation, because that shouldn't be. And I had to do that. I had to reevaluate. And I had to let some of those things go, because of my son, who I know, my job as a mother, again, I don't have a daughter, but my job as a mother, and as with any mother of any daughter, is to recognize what that child is gifted in, and we are to develop that so that they can be what God has called them to be. And so if my child had a recital and I couldn't be at the ministry meeting, then, hey, I couldn't be there. If my son had a football game, I know he's gifted in football. Not only does he enjoy it, but he's gifted. Both of my children are gifted in different areas. So if it was for me to be at the game and not at the planning committee meeting, then I had to say, I'm sorry, I can't make this meeting. That's the choice I had to make in order to be operating in my high call as a mother. Now, you may think differently, you may think it's harsh, but I want you to look at Proverbs 31. And I don't really like using Proverbs 31 a lot because even though it shows a virtuous woman, she's not the virtuous woman. I want you to understand. She is a virtuous woman because you and I can be virtuous women, and we may not be everything that this woman was because I can't sew. I don't know about, you know, anybody else, but I can't sew. So it's not that I have to be able to sell my children's clothes in order to be virtuous. You may not own a business, but you don't have to own a business to be virtuous. So this woman did all of those things, and she was considered virtuous, but she was a virtuous woman. So understand that. But what the point I'm trying to make about her is that if you read Proverbs 31, not one time did they mention her work at a church or at a temple, that it probably would say temple in that day and time. But not once did it mention anything about her operating a ministry or doing anything in a church. I think verse 30 mentions that she gave to the needy. But this whole proverb that talks about this virtuous woman talks about her ministering to the needs of her family. They talked about her providing and doing things that were necessary to make her family prosper. So as mothers of daughters, it's important that we know and that we tell our daughters, you know, this is what it takes in order to fulfill the high call of a mother. This is what the girls need to know, and they need to grow up knowing this. That was very enlightening to me when I realized that you don't have to overload yourself. And if you find yourself with too much stuff to do in a day, then you're doing too much. And you're doing stuff that you're not even probably called to do. So you need to evaluate that, because your busyness is another ploy from the devil. Busyness is what he does to keep you off track. He makes you think you got to be here, you got to do this, you got to get this done. Not true. And don't fall into that trap. So we've got to teach these girls what's important and how to really prioritize what they're doing. Then the third thing that I want to talk about with this particular woman, that's in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 26 through 29. Of course, we said she was in distress. You know, she made a decision based off of what she saw in her environment, the famine. There was nothing to eat. She allowed herself to be tricked by this woman that came to her with this bright idea that they would boil the children. They boiled her son, ate her son this day. They were supposed to boil and eat the other woman's son the next day, but the woman reneged on a deal and hid her son. And so here she is asking for help. She's going for help. She's trying to, she's lost her son. She made a poor decision. The Bible doesn't tell us how many days this has been since she's done this and when she finally went for help, but it does it allude to the fact that some time had lapsed, and now she's going for help. So the third thing that we can learn from this particular mother is that we need to know the source of our help at all times. And not only know the source of our help, but don't let it be the last resort. See, if this woman, as I stated before, she had her spiritual eyes and ears open, and if she was able to know where her help was coming from, she wouldn't have been able to let
the environment caused her to make such a poor decision and be tricked by this woman that came to her. But see, she waited until after all is said and done and then decided she was going to try to find some help. And I like the way the king of Israel that was walking by that she ended up talking to, I like the way he said it to her. You know, it sounds kind of cruel, but he said, if the Lord don't help you, then what am I supposed to do? Basically, that's what he was saying. He said, if the Lord don't help you, then whence can I help you? In other words, you know, what can I do? If the Lord won't do nothing, there's nothing I can do for you. And it sounds kind of harsh, but the fact is it was the truth. He told her the truth. He didn't act like he could help her. He let her know, you should have went to the Lord. The Lord is the one that gives you the help. Now, if that king knew that, now he was on his way to kill Elisha. If you get a chance to read all of 2 Kings 6, he's trying to plotting to kill Elisha. But he knew where the help came from. And he told her exactly where the help came from. And so, basically, a lot of times we find ourselves with our daughters, you know, we have, if you make a bad decision, understand that there is a way. God is so gracious that he can help you. The Bible says that God is an ever-present help. So that means that there's no time in your life that you can, or no situation in your life that you can be in, no time you can be in where he won't help you. So if you make a mistake, just own up to it. You made a mistake and ask the Lord to help you fix it, and he will. So at this particular time, this woman was at her last resort. Then she decided to seek help. And then she still didn't know where to go for the help. So, you know, I know a lot of times we think, you know, there's a song, it's called I Surrender All. And that song, you know, one thing I want you to know and that we need to share with our daughters as they're growing up is that God doesn't want you to surrender. Surrender means you decide you're going to give up in duress. In other words, think about when a battle. When did the surrender happen? That white flag doesn't know that, you know, they don't throw the white flag until after they have fought as hard as they could fight and just have no other way to go. Then finally throw the white flag. God don't want you coming to him like that. Now, sometimes it takes some of us to get there. You know, you look at the story of Jonah. Sometimes it takes, you know, us to go through things before we go there. But the will of God is that we come willfully and submit to him. Not that we gotta, you know, spend all and resort all of our efforts and just, you know, come to rock bottom before we come to him. No, he wants us to come willfully and submit to him willfully. Not till after you've done everything and you're in duress, oh well, I guess I better go to the Lord now. He'll take you that way because he loves you. But you'll save yourself a whole lot of heartache and distress if you just come willfully and submit and not go through all of that. Because, see, by the time in this particular woman we're studying, she came, but, well, she didn't come to the Lord. She came to the king, and he told her where to go. But her son was dead by then. But God is an ever-present help. So we got to teach our girls to learn to seek God now. Build a relationship with him as you're growing up. And if you got a daughter who is older and maybe, you know, you did make some mistakes or she doesn't know, you haven't been able to, you know, instill that in her growing up, it's not too late. As I said, God is so gracious that he will allow us to correct any wrong or anything, any bad decision. In his grace, he could still cover that. So we need to teach the girls to know where the help comes from, because we're not going to always be around for them. At some point, they're going to have to be able to go to the Lord for themselves in every decision. So that's the story of these two women. And this one particular distressed mother. And I learned so much by studying this, these few passages in 2 Kings.
I'm just amazed. I'm saying that I'm truly blessed from listening to it because it has given us a different turn. The switchboard is lit up and everybody's hand is up. So they would have talked to you. Wow, I thank you for that. That's a different twist and a very enlightening approach because we are in a position that sometimes, or we put ourselves in position sometimes to be tricked by the enemy. And the focus is, you just have to stay focused at all times because it just comes, he comes from all angles. I thank you for that. I want to open it up, Angie, so some people can talk to you. You
okay.
Hold on just a moment. We have 252. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Dr. Bessie?
I am doing fine. Who do we have on the line, Ann?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah, I got callers that now I'm familiar with the voice, so I'm just going to go ahead and call you out. If I,
okay,
I
understand.
Go
I
right
just
ahead.
I got so turned on. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Tell us what you think about the topic this morning.
Oh, Angela covered everything. I was up there saying, amen, yes, that's right. But everything she said, I agree with her 100%. Because we need to seek God first and stop living like the world. Most mothers, they look at what the world is doing instead of what we as Christian women should be doing. You don't seek the world's way. You seek God's way.
That's
and
right.
I think a mother is like a nucleus to the family. She holds it together. And God has called a mother to be a prayer warrior for the family, for her children, to uplift them, to listen to them, to educate them. I know when my child was very small, before we would go to school in the morning, we always had prayer. I didn't leave home with him until we prayed. So that was instilled in him early in life. And I know sometimes, you know, as kids get older, they might stray away. But when you instill these things into them when they're small, I think it stays with them. If they make a mistake, they know to get back on the right path. And we have to be warriors and pray for our children every day, not one day, every day.
That's
and
right.
Our families. And you got to plead the blood of Jesus over them. And
that's
I don't
right.
want to, I don't want to be talking, because some people might not understand what I'm talking about, but these are things that you need to do. Because
that's right.
they help the person, they keep them strong, they protect them.
Man.
And that's all I'm going to say, because I know we got a lot of people on the line that probably want to speak.
Yeah, well, that is so
Amen.
True, and I agree with you, and I know Angie does, because that was my thing with her every morning. I mean, there was not a morning she'd go out or come in or we're doing anything during the day. I prayed over her, asked God to protect her, and I sent her out, and I didn't worry about her because I knew she was protected. And I noticed right now with her two sons, my grandson, every morning she prays over them. And even, you know, they will say things like, oh, you know, I'm not worried. I'm believing God. When I hear them say that, it's just like, wow, you know?
Yes.
You know
yes.
that you know that they got it. And when something yes. come up, this is, oh, we believe in God. And I'm thinking, something happened and I had to leave. I could leave here feeling very good because I know my daughter knows God. She's married to a minister. He knows God and the children know God. And I could see that being passed on through the next generation. So I, you know, I can kind of rest that they will pass on the traditions and teach my great-grands and great-great-grands about God and to depend on him as their source. So
well,
thank you very much, Ann. Angie, did you want to say something to Ann?
No, I agree 100%. God bless you, Ann.
God bless you, too. Thanks.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right. We're coming to you 919. Right now we have 410. Good morning. 410, Eric Holt, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. I was just listening to the young lady, and I was just wondering, because I know there's only an hour show, how much time we have to actually talk. But
you have about 2 minutes. And who are we speaking to?
You're speaking to Jarrett.
Jarrett?
Yes.
Okay.
One of the things I wanted to say is, you know, sometimes young folks, when they're going through things, they think that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, and not until we become a little bit older and a little bit more wiser do we realize that some of those things that we thought were very important are not as important as they are when we become more wiser. So, you know, being on all those different boards and all those different activities at the church,
right
then, you know, no one could tell us that we're doing something other than the Lord's work, but then other
right.
folks, the older folks will say, well, you know, you're stretching yourself too thin, because how effective can you be being on
mm-hmm.
all of those different areas, but more so concentrate on some of the other, on just smaller things and be more effective.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You're exactly
right.
Right. We do. We think we're doing a good job by doing all this stuff, but then you're really neglecting what's important. You're neglecting your high call. So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Jared, for calling in.
God bless
you, Jared. All right. We have a gentleman there. Right? Thank you.
Amen.
Yes. Good morning, 678.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm just fine.
I just want to thank Angie for such a wonderful teaching. And it just let her know it blessed my spirit, because we can, as mothers and parents, as far as that is concerned, get that Martha spirit. And if many people will pattern themselves after Mary, who was at Jesus' feet, trying to get everything that she could. You know, a lot of time we think it's in our doing and being on that front line, but we have to remember that it's the things that's behind the counter, behind the podium that counts. A lot of people think being in ministry is just being a pastor. That's all ministry consists of. But ministry, as she said tonight, begins at home with our
mm-hmm.
family, in our neighborhood, as well as our church. So I just want to thank her for that, and let her know, and let the people know, we all, not directing it to Angie per se, but let the people know as well, if we concentrate, really concentrate with the spirit that Mary had sitting at the feet of Jesus, and that's just in everything that we do. The Bible tells us to acknowledge God in everything that we do, and He'll direct our path. So we concentrate on sitting at His feet, getting the information and the direction from Him, that He can direct us in the right way where we can hear His voice, then everything will go a lot better in all our lives.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Janice. 919, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed, and Andy truly blessed me this morning. I mean, what she said was just phenomenal. And it was so funny because for 13 years I ran a women's ministry, and I gave everything I had to that ministry. But I was lacking something, because I was doing for my family, but I believed that, you know, I was supposed to do for God first, and I was kind of misunderstanding things. And I think she brought that back to me today, that, you know, even though God wants us to put Him first and He is a jealous God, that we still have to live, we still have to have lives here on earth, so we got to kind of know how to balance those things. And since then, I have learned to balance them. But at that time, I just wanted to do everything God wanted me to do. I was on fire for God. I wanted to go out there every day and minister to women, and they would consume all of my time, night and day. And my husband would get to the point, he would just say, look, he would come to the job, and he would say, we had our own business. I'm going to take you somewhere. We're not even going on. We're going to go to Raleigh and just spend the night there, and you just go to work from there. And I would say, why? He said, because that's the only way I can get you away from these women. So I understand what she's saying. Marriage is important, and your lifestyle with your family is the number one thing other than God, and you worship God first. but you don't bring everybody else in and take over. And that's what I was about to do, is just allow people. So
I'd like to add something. I just like to add something to the way. It took me a long time to understand this, but my pastor and his wife showed me that you are honoring God. You are working for God when you take care of your family. It's not because you know, I have these children. I think of myself as Mary and Jesus. You know, Jesus has something to do for the world, and my children have something to do for the world. And I have to make sure that they develop and that they grow and that they get there to do it. And if I'm out doing something else other than what God's called me to do as a wife and a mother, then I'm not getting my children where they need to be. And so really the greatest thing that you could do for God is take care of your family, because the enemy is out there to destroy families. And, and we all know that. And family is husband and wife and children. That is what is God depends on that arrangement. He ordains that. So we have to protect it because it's in his plan.
Right.
It's the best to do, you know, because children could have been, you know, growing in a cabbage patch. They could have, if that's the way God wanted it, he could have really made it that way. But he wanted two parents to raise the children. So we got to do the best way, best thing that we can to try to make that happen. And when, you know, if anything else is coming to me, the way I learned is that when I am doing for my family, providing for my family, taking care of my family, I'm doing God's will for my life. Now, when they're gone and I want to, you know, spend some time doing other things in the ministry, then that's fine. But I know that my high call right now is being a mother and a wife. So,
okay.
Well,
I want to ask. Go ahead, Deb.
No,
I was saying I wanted to add something to that. I noticed that earlier Angie said that when you were talking about your children and their calling, and she mentioned one, her children, and I'm a stickler for this, and that's why she knows that she probably knew I was going to say something. When Josh, little Jarrett, was born, that's my oldest grandson. You know, when he was very little, he had this thing about animals and insects, and it just came up in my spirit, and I told my daughter then, I said, he's going to be a veterinarian, and we watched him, and I'm telling you, as he grew, he gave all the signs, and to this day, that's what he's doing, and he's had, you know, three or four different opportunities to work with doctors. But when she said football, I tell him all the time, football is just, and although he's gifted, football is a sideline. That's your hobby, but your gift and your talent, God sent you here to take care of the animals and the pets. So we recognize that as the other one is a musician. So that's all that I do. I don't give them anything outside of that. I focus on all the gifts, birthdays, whatever. I give something to motivate and to enhance that gift and that talent that I know God sent them here for. And so I just wanted to share that with you. And when we recognize the gift, we have to enhance the gift by, you know, giving and adding to and letting them know and promoting what you see. Because God will tell you as a mother your role. And I noticed when Angie was little, I always said to her she was a writer. And I told her, and I mean, she's all through school writing on the, yearbook staff. I mean, just everything, just writing. But somehow or another, she wasn't hearing me, the mother. And I said, Angie, I'm telling you, you're a writer. And now, all of a sudden, she's got it, and she's writing. And she's writing some important documents. I won't say what they are now, but she's writing some important documents. And she says, Mama, I just never saw myself, but it was in her, and I saw it, and it took her to this time in her life to see that her talent was to write. And I don't know why she didn't see it. I mean, she wrote for television. She wrote for all these people, but now she's writing for herself and God. So that makes a whole difference. She's finally seen. That is her gift. Okay, 404. Good morning, 404. How are you?
Good morning. Fine.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Dr. Betsy. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Welcome to the show, Dorothy.
Thank you. This is such a blessing, and I thank her so much for those words. I mean, it's just really good when you can go to the Word, the Bible, and find the scriptures to really express what you're trying to say. And a lot of times we do get caught up in what we grew up hearing. Like she said, you can be anything you want to be and do anything you want to do. And we become repetitious with this and instill it in our children's head. And when we're really not going to the Word and saying we need to rely on the Word to guide us and to lead us in the right direction. And that teaching was just so good, so good. Thank you so much.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, 44849. Good morning. Good morning.
Good. 404?
Thank you for the word. Mom, I'm talking about it. Good morning.
All right.
Okay, I guess that they are doing something else. All right, so thank you guys this morning. Angie, I thank you. We have 8 more minutes. Anyone else have anything that they would like to say this morning on the topic? Angie, you want to add anything?
No, I just thank God for the word, and I thank God that people are sharing with us on Saturday mornings, and I just thank you for the opportunity.
Okay. Anyone else have anything they want to say? We have about 2 more minutes. We want to make sure that you get it in there. I'm excited. I am so proud that this day is taking place, because when God called me to minister to mothers and daughters, you know, I didn't want to push it down my daughter's throat, even though I knew the day would come that it would settle in her mind and her spirit, and God would show her, because she has her life, and I don't want to design her life for her. So I always sit back and I take, she's always helping me, but I knew that the day would come that the combination would come together the way that God wanted if I just kept going and kept moving. And I noticed as this radio program, we started the program in January, Angie has always been there to say, Mama, what are you talking about, you know, and giving me advice. And so I was on the role as the as my little director. And I thought, thank you, God. She's participating, and I like that. And so this has been a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. We're talking about mothers of a high call. And I think I'm going to adopt that, Angie, and I'm going to take that on with me as I travel. We go to North Carolina in October to do the conference. You know, we're going to add that to it, because it is the highest call for a woman, is to be honored to be a mother. And I also say to women that, you know, some women say, well, I don't have any children. You know, and it's not for you to feel less, because I know women that don't have children, have not birthed children of their own, but they are mothers of many. Mm-hmm. And God will give you the children to minister to. And for some reason, he chose to pick the one and say, I want you to minister to this group. Because I know several women that have women programs for boys, and they are their children in every sense of the word, with love and with the care of a birth mother. So don't just look at it that I don't have a birth child and that I'm not a mother. We had a show one Saturday, and it was about there's a mother within every woman, because we have the spirit to nurture. And we do that. And sometimes we nurture our husbands so much that they get scared and they want to run away, because we tend to nurture them as well. So last comments. Deborah, you have anything else you want to say before we leave?
Yes, I just want to say thanks again. But, you know, eventually I got the message and I did change. And I, because I've been a mother to many students, I've been in daycare for, I guess it was about 40 years, so every child there, as they experience, you know, the relationship with me, they made me feel special. And I truly tried to be a mother figure to them, a positive role model to them. And a lot of them are still in my life as of, you know, as right now. But I think that I'm looking forward to meeting Angie and all that she has to give. I'm looking forward to meeting you in North Carolina. And I know we're going to do something new in North Carolina with Christ on our side. So I'm just excited about it. Each day I'm looking at the calendar and just getting ready. Everything is pretty secure here in North Carolina now. So we're just looking forward for you to touch down.
Well, I'm excited about coming, and we're going to go. We have the Mother and Daughter Faith Tour, and we're starting off in Durham, North Carolina. Deborah is putting together a program there, and we're excited about it. And we're going to subtitle it A High Call of a Mother. There's no better subtitle to it than that. I'm excited about it. Deborah, you want to tell us a little bit about the tickets and how much it costs and where you're at?
Yes, we're in Durham, North Carolina, and it's going to be at C.C. Spaulding Elementary School right off Roxboro Road in Durham. We're in the Research Triangle area, and what the tickets are costing is $15, and this is going to incorporate your meal. You'll be fed the word. First of all, you'll be fed the powerful word from Dr. Betsy Fletcher and her daughter. Also, we will have other speakers that will feed you the word. But the word is coming from Dr. Fletcher for the first time in North Carolina. And people really need this ministry because there is no mother and daughter ministry in this area. So this is why it's going to be really special. But it's $15 to come and eat and be fed the word. And also there'll be lots of door prizes. We're collecting door prizes as we speak. So there'll be door prizes, there'll be ministry and food. So you just want you to come out and enjoy yourself that day.
Okay, that's October the 1st and the 2nd in Durham, North Carolina.
On the 1st, we're going to have a special baptism done for some of the women that's coming. So we have a special pastor that's going to be doing a ceremony like breaking generational curses, just doing a special spiritual thing on the 1st. So that will happen at 6 o'clock October 1st.
Okay. Well, the other thing that I wanted to add to this, Deborah, and I don't know if you know this or not, but the Mother and Daughter Bonding Network was born in North Carolina. I'm from North Carolina. I'm from Winston-Salem. What you're doing, it was born there. It started. The whole organization started in North Carolina. It is a North Carolina corporation doing business in Florida. That's good for you to know. What you're doing is that I'm the prodigal child. I'm coming back home. And it's so amazing, as the Bible states and Jesus says, you know, a prophet can't do good in their own town. When I was there, you know, I could not get it going. You know what I'm saying? And I'm so blessed that now I'm coming back to North Carolina. I've been everywhere doing mother and daughter workshops. Of course, I've done workshops at the convention center in Charlotte and various churches and things around the area. But to me, it's special now because we have set up the center. We have all of our organizational structures in place, and we're being able to come home, and you're bringing us home. And I truly appreciate that.
Oh, God is bringing
me. Appreciate that.
It's going to be
beautiful. God is bringing us. So I thank you guys for listening today. And God bless you. The switchboard was completely filled today. It just warms my heart when I look at it and I see everybody sitting there and just listening because I know you're getting it. You wouldn't just sit if you wasn't getting something. And, Angela, I am so proud of you. I'm just proud to be your mother. I just thank God for you. And so I've learned a lot. And that's what I like about her, is that when I need help, I can go to my daughter, and my daughter can give me advice, and I take that advice as if I'm talking to any other adult woman. I take it. I treat her as an adult. I don't treat her as my daughter. And she is an adult. She's a grown woman. She has her own children, her own family. And I respect her advice, and I take it wholeheartedly. Love you, love your daughter, and respect her as the woman that she is. You guys have a blessed week. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye.